Well, good morning. Back to school is starting in Florida amidst a record surge of COVID. There's more fallout from a report that involves Andrew Cuomo, and a final vote on infrastructure could be just a question of hours away. But the big story everybody wants to know is, how is Julianne Huddy's clavicle recovery coming? Here with the answer for that question is Julianne Huddy. Juliet?
On the mend, sir.
Ah, good.
Yes, I'm very happy about it. I actually went to my Pilates instructor yesterday, had a little chat, so I could be going in to do some Pilates without using the arms, of course. Really happy about this. It's a good day.
Wonderful. Good.
Yes. It's also going to be a good day, apparently, if you live anywhere else but the New York City area, as far as weather goes. From the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center, we have an excessive heat warning. We're going to get up to 85 degrees. We're going to start off with partially cloudy skies early on, but then we should lead into some showers and maybe some thunderstorms during the afternoon. That will continue throughout the night into tomorrow. Wednesday, we have 92 degrees. We're getting really up there as far as temperature goes, and also humidity is going to be up there as well. Sunshine and clouds mixed, though. Thursday, 95 degrees with pretty much the same story as Wednesday. Partly cloudy skies with some sun here and there. You know, just going to be hot and humid next few days. By the time we get around to Friday, we'll have 94 degrees, isolated thunderstorms, maybe just, you know, here and there. Shouldn't be too crazy. But again, the hot and humid temperatures will lead us into the weekend. Currently, the temperature in New York City is 73 degrees.
I was going to say
30. Yes, it chilled off earlier.
Yes. All right. Military troops are being told they need to be vaccinated against coronavirus by the middle of next month. The Pentagon warns the mandate could happen even sooner, depending on when the FDA gives full approval. So far, the vaccines are being given out under emergency use authorization. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin says a healthy and ready force is necessary to defend the nation.
We have a bunch of Andrew Cuomo update stories. So first of all, let's get to this one. The New York Post is reporting that the governor tried to cut a deal with the legislature, the state legislature. He offered, essentially, according to this report, to drop his bid for this fourth term in exchange for not getting impeached. Cuomo obviously is in his third term. Allegedly, he made the offer before the New York Attorney General's report came out that branded him essentially a sex pervert. The New York State Democratic Party chairman told the New York Post that it was something that was floated to him by the Cuomo camp as a possible option before the AG's report came out. He said he never saw it as a viable option. And this news comes a day after reports claimed that Cuomo's team has been engaged in essentially a flurry of phone calls trying to regain his footing within the Democratic Party. The governor, of course, is accused of sexually harassing at least 11 women in violation of state and federal law. He is continuing to insist that he did nothing wrong.
But 507, someone who's been trying to regain his footing in the traffic community is Joe Nolan.
It's fruitless.
Yeah, fruitless.
Joe, how is the traffic looking this morning?
Well, we got a couple of things out here you want to know about. First of all, Turnpike, Jersey Turnpike northbound, the express lanes approaching the George Washington Bridge. There is maintenance set up, so they have that shut down, also causing delays on the western spur of the Turnpike getting up to the area of the Vince Lombardi Service Center. Now, Staten Island bound upper level, all lanes are closed to the Verrazano, that for maintenance. New Jersey Transit Trains, the Port Jervis line back running on or close and alternate side again today is in effect. This report. A service of Indeed.com. Take the shortcut to your next great hire when you sponsor a job on Indeed. Instant Match immediately delivers a list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description. Visit Indeed.com/credit. I'm Joe Nolan with traffic on Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you very much, Joe. Okay, so continuing on with the litany of events and things happening in the Governor Cuomo camp, one of his accusers on Monday said that he once refused to hire a woman because she wasn't pretty enough. This is Karen Hinton who said this. It was made. She was actually a press aide when Cuomo worked back in former President Bill Clinton's housing authority as secretary there. Hinton told the Post that the woman was her friend and that she had recommended her, so she ended up sitting in with Cuomo for the interview. And afterwards, she asked Cuomo how it went. And Hinton claims he said, nah, I don't think so. She said, why? And he said, she's not pretty enough. I don't like the way she looks. So That's one story. Another story, Frank, that's coming out is, well, another story from the New York Post. The future not boding well for the governor. The Post is reporting that two more women came forward with allegations against him. These women were told that the attorney general's investigation was officially over, so apparently that they were sent over, referred over to the local law enforcement officials. It's not clear who they are, what they're alleging, and where exactly the situation stands at this point. Apparently, Attorney General Letitia James wasn't briefed on their allegations, according to the source.
Well, you know, in terms of that Karen Hinton story about him not hiring a woman because she wasn't pretty enough, so that would have been at least 21 years ago when he was at HUD. To me, it seems so silly to focus on a comment like that, which has nothing to do with whether or not he's going to be impeached or not. I mean, I know that that's all the rage now in terms of being salacious. But to me, it's almost a distraction from the more credible, more recent allegations.
Well, look, I mean, it's the New York Post. They're going to pile on as much as they possibly can. So, I mean, it's, you know, it's just something that shows his character, allegedly. But, you know, it's he said, she said.
Right. And more than two decades ago.
Correct.
Federal officials are reviewing 9/11 documents, hoping to release more information to the public. It's what family members of the nearly 3,000 victims have been demanding. They're so upset about the way they don't want President Biden to attend next month's events, marking the 20th anniversary. A letter filed in court yesterday shows the documents would detail what led up to that tragic day and if Saudi Arabia played a role.
I'd like to hear this information. I mean, I don't know if you've read, there was a journalist out in California, I cannot remember which outlet he worked for, but he wrote some really damning articles. And, you know, Saudi Arabia has blood on their hands, period, over this situation. You know who else may have blood on their hands? Oh boy, this is a royal alert, but this is not the kind of royal alert I really want any sort of, you know, bugles and drums and fanfare for. Virginia Roberts Giuffre has filed a lawsuit against Prince Andrew, thanks a lot, Rob, for alleged sex abuse. And this is according to federal court documents that were filed yesterday. She is the most well-known and well-publicized alleged victim of Jeffrey Epstein. She had previously said that she was forced to perform sex acts with the prince. She told the BBC back in 2019 that she was trafficked by Epstein. She was forced to have sex with his friends, including the Duke of York, when she was underage. The palace, Buckingham Palace, has responded. They have denied her allegations. They denied the allegations back at the time to CNN, saying it's emphatically denying that the Duke of York had any sort of form of sexual contact or relationship with Virginia Roberts, and any claim to the contrary is false and without foundation. No word on any response today to this latest accusation, this latest filing here in New York City.
And she had previously also sued Alan Dershowitz as well.
Yes. You know. She's a very credible woman, I have to say.
All right. Well, we're keeping an eye on a number of stories taking place in Washington, including a final vote on the first part of President Biden's infrastructure plan, which is just a few hours away. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer said last night both sides reached an agreement after months of deadlock. He laid out two tracks for the bipartisan bill. One deals with traditional infrastructure, while the other tackles climate and problems families are facing. If the bill passes today as expected, it will go to the House.
Okay, we have an update on the story that we brought you. I believe it was last week. A man has been arrested for the murder of that Queens divorce attorney. This is the man who was found stabbed to death in his office. Nando Perez of the Bronx was arrested and charged with the murder of attorney Charles Zolot in Queens. Sources are telling the Post that Perez may have been a disgruntled client who was unhappy, clearly, over a home foreclosure. Zolot, who was 65 years old, was found by a custodian in his office building with multiple stabs in a second floor office. He was known for doing real estate litigation and divorce work and all sorts of different type of work, according to the tenant who lived in or who worked in the building, and also from Zoloff's website. His neighbors in the Briarwood area say that he was a quiet, nice guy. He belonged to a synagogue. He has a sister, but apparently wasn't married, didn't have children, a wife, girlfriend, nothing like that, according to neighbors.
There are roughly 1 million more job openings than there are people looking for work. That's according to the Labor Department. New numbers show a record 10.1 million openings in June, up from 9.5 million in May. Right now, 8.6 million people are said to be out of work across the nation. Employers are having to use a number of incentives to get new hires, including signing bonuses.
Well, speaking of signing bonuses, you should get a couple bonuses for all the different roles that you play here, including now the sports guy.
Oh, thank you.
For the early news.
Thank you.
I mean, have you gotten a bump in your pay for this? I mean, this is it's taking a lot of your time. I know.
I am just happy for my continued employment here. I'm yeah. very content.
You know, it is an extra 3 minutes a day for you.
That's right. Tough. All right. Well, thanks to Peerless Boilers, we are bringing you this sports report. Yankees prevailing over the Royals in extra innings. Brett Gardner's grounder in the 11th ricocheted off Nicky Lopez to score two runs as the Yankees beat the Royals 8-6 in Kansas City. Luke Voit homered and drove in a pair as the Yankees won. The Yankees have now won 9 of their last 11. The Yankees will look to continue their hot play tonight. They face off against the Royals once again in Kansas City. The Mets, who have been struggling, will look to right the ship tonight when they welcome the Nationals to Queens. Carlos Carrasco is scheduled to take the ball from Luis Rojas and start the game for the Mets. The right-hander has only made a handful of starts and does not yet have a decision to his record yet. He'll be opposed by Paolo Espino, the right-hander's 3-3 for Washington this year. The Giants are happy to see number 26 back on the field. Saquon Barkley was activated from the physically unable to perform list Monday for the first time since tearing his ACL early last season. The New York running back said he's working toward being ready for the season opener on September 12th. The Giants will take on the Jets in the first preseason game on Saturday at MetLife Stadium. And the Big Apple's young stars are showing up in Las Vegas in the Summer League. Emmanuel Quickly cashed in with 32 points as the Knicks defeated the Pacers 94-86. Obi Toppin proved there was no stopping him with 22 points. Also in Summer League action, the defending NBA champion Bucks saw their young players deliver an 81-78 win over the Clippers. In hockey news, the Rangers are locking up their goalie. GM Chris Drury announced a new deal with restricted free agent Igor Shesterkin on Monday as a 4-year deal that carries an annual value of $5.6 million, which is almost the salary that Joe Nolan makes to bring you traffic updates every 10 minutes on the 7th. Isn't that right, Joe?
Absolutely. I'm sorry you caught me off guard there. Yeah. I was swallowing some coffee. I don't make anywhere near that. If you're on the Jersey Turnpike northbound, the express lanes now, again, we remain all lanes shut down. Approaching the George Washington Bridge, again, that maintenance continues. The Western Spur right around the Vince Lombardi Service Center, again, that will continue to be a little slow. Now, if you're coming inbound, Lincoln, Holland, George, all three, only minor delays. LIE, Northern, Southern States, all in pretty good shape, too. There is some road work on the thruway coming southbound between Airmont Road and the Spring Valley Tolls, so just be aware of that. That would be on the southbound side heading to the Tappan Zee Bridge. And New Jersey Transit Trains at Port Jervis is back on or close, and alternate side again today is in effect. With traffic on the 7s, I'm Joe Nolan, Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you very much, Mr. Nolan. The time now is 5:17. We're going to take a quick break. Before we do, we've got lots of stuff to get to in your Jet Set Juliet travel update. We're going to be talking about, I've got actually a really cool article that I posted, I'm going to post actually on my Twitter, and it talks about, it's from Big 7 Travel, which is a cool travel outlet. It's a cool travel website. And they basically go down the 50 most beautiful places in the world. I mean, whether they're cities or whether they're actually like sites to go see. So I looked at that and I started curating down to the 5 places that I've never been that I thought might be really, I've actually been inspired after I read about them. So I'm going to tell you what they are and how you can go there. And that is coming from your Jet Set Juliet travel update. And of course, Frank has his business, which is probably the thing that I look most forward to in the entire hour and a half that we do this.
Well, thank you. Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, today you're going to be hearing about productivity, which is falling.
That is awesome.
Yes.
I'm really looking forward to that. It's coming up right after this.
All the news you need to know. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
20 minutes after 5 o'clock, it is currently 73 degrees, but there is an excessive heat warning in effect for today. Juliet will tell you more about that in a minute. But I will tell you first about what you can expect on Wall Street today. The opening bell rings this morning after a sluggish start to the trading week. Stocks retreated from Friday's record levels on global growth worries. At the closing bell, the Dow Jones fell 106 points, the S&P 500 lost 4 points, and the NASDAQ rose 24 points. Non-farm productivity for the second quarter comes out this morning, and the experts see it slowing after a strong recovery in the first quarter. Analysts forecast productivity growing 3.2% in the April to June quarter. The numbers are due at 8:30 this morning. Lawmakers are getting more heat over raising the federal debt ceiling. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen wrote a letter to Congress and said a boost in the debt ceiling should happen on a bipartisan basis. Senate Republicans are threatening to withhold support for without spending cuts. Democrats point out that Republicans regularly supported raising the debt ceiling during the Trump administration. Juliet.
Thank you very much, sir. Since you mentioned the weather, I figured I'd just give you a little quick update from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center. We're going to have cloudy skies this morning, and then by the afternoon, we probably will have some scattered thunderstorms. I'm guessing it's probably going to continue, unfortunately, throughout the day and into the evening, depending on where you live. It shouldn't be too crazy as far as the thunderstorms go, but we will have rain, most likely. Heading into tomorrow, Wednesday, we'll have a high of 92 degrees with partly cloudy skies, maybe a stray shower here and there. On Thursday, we get up to 95 degrees. Again, it's just lots of heat, lots of humidity over the next few days. And by Friday, that 95 stays pretty much where it is. We will have partly cloudy skies, again, a stray shower or a thunderstorm, unfortunately. By Friday evening, though, it looks like the rain is going to go away. We should have just partly cloudy skies, and we'll get down to a low of 78 degrees. So it still will be pretty balmy, really high humidity. So the weekend, as far as going to the beach, I don't know that city's going to be happy about this. It looks like we'll have some clouds early on with scattered showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon and a high of 90 degrees. So not really the best forecast for you. I apologize. Unless you like hot and humid and
it's
sticky and mucky.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's fun for people that like swimming pools, right? No?
I mean, if you like swimming pools and like lightning, I guess, but okay. I mean, thunderstorms, they're no joke sometimes.
Yeah. Rock legend Bruce Springsteen is celebrating his daughter's Olympic win. Jessica Springsteen left Tokyo with a silver medal in the U.S. equestrian team jumping event. The trio was tied for gold with Sweden before falling short by 1 second in a dramatic jump off. The 29-year-old FaceTimed with her family after the win, but they were screaming so loud she didn't understand anything they said.
That was pretty cool. That's pretty amazing, I have to say. I mean, you've got Bruce Springsteen as your dad, Patty is your wife, Patty is your mom, and you're this equestrian Olympian. That's quite the family. And by the way, she's also beautiful, really pretty woman. All right, we have an update on the Jeopardy situation, Frank. So Mike Richards, who is rumored to be the new Jeopardy host, although that's the rumor, it hasn't been confirmed. He's also the game show's executive producer. He is speaking out about his role in some of these past discrimination lawsuits from more than a decade ago when he was a producer at The Price is Right. This was during a time when the CBS show was slapped with two bias lawsuits. I think one was in 2010, one was in 2011. He actually wrote a memo to his staff on Monday morning. The Hollywood Reporter got their hands on it, and he confirmed reports that he was the front runner to be the Jeopardy host. And then he also talked about his role in these lawsuits. He said that he wanted to address it. He said his comments and actions have been mischaracterized. So one of the allegations was that this former model, Brandi Cochran, who won more than, I think, $8.5 million in punitive damages from The Price is Right, because she had suggested that she had been discriminated against because she was pregnant. Well, this Richards guy says, I would never do anything like that. He's a father of two. He says he would not disrespect anyone's pregnancy, and he supports his colleagues and their parenting journeys. So he is claiming that he was not a part of this.
Mm.
So what do you think is going to happen?
I don't know. I was surprised that he was named a front runner to begin with. So
I'm shocked.
I can't see him getting it with this scandal as well in the current era in which we're living.
I know. We just need Jordy LaForge.
Yeah. I think LeVar Burton would be a fine choice. A fine choice.
As do I.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention said yesterday that it's warning doctors to watch out for symptoms of a rare and serious bacterial infection known as melioidosis after a fourth case of the disease was recently confirmed in the United States. So far, the CDC said four cases of the illness have been confirmed among adults and children in Georgia, Kansas, Minnesota, and Texas, and so far, two of the patients have died. But what's puzzling health officials is that the disease, which is endemic to tropical and subtropical climates in Southeast Asia and Northern Australia, is typically contracted via travel. However, none of the four individuals who've been recently infected have traveled internationally. So we'll see what happens, but the CDC is urging doctors to keep an eye out for this.
Oh, how lovely. Well, President Biden says we need to keep an eye out on the climate and the environment. He issued a dire warning on Monday after a bombshell United Nations report on climate change came out. It claims that global warming is already causing extreme weather and the world will heat up by 2.7 degrees by the year 2040. That's actually a decade sooner than originally thought. This news comes amid record heat waves and wildfires and flooding all around the world, including here in the United States. Scientists say the Arctic is likely to be ice-free before the year 2050. And experts say the only possible saving grace would be cutting emissions of greenhouse gases. The president warned that doing nothing is only adding to the problem, which he calls a crisis.
Well, Joe Nolan has got traffic and transit on the sevens. Are we thinking that means some more pool time and a longer summer, all this climate change?
Look, glass half full. Look
exactly.
At
that,
Frank.
Yeah, right. Really. I mean, you know.
Kids will be broiling to death, but, you know, no big deal.
No big deal. They're kids. They'll get over it.
They're resilient.
That's right.
What do they know?
Northbound on the Turnpike.
They don't remember what snow was like.
No, they don't even know. Northbound on the Jersey Turnpike, the express lanes, all lanes are closed, coming up to the George Washington Bridge. Again, that for overnight maintenance. Shouldn't be too much longer. Southern State westbound, we're slow to the cross Allen and accident. Also on the Van Wyck northbound between the Belt Parkway and Rockaway Parkway. Again, construction. Now, Staten Island bound, upper level, Verrazano Bridge closed for maintenance. Same thing on the drive southbound. We've got two lanes out in the 70s. Good news on New Jersey Transit Trains. They got the Port Jervis line back and alternate sign again today is in effect in the support of service of Indeed.com. Take the shortcut to your next great hire when you sponsor a job on Indeed. Instant Match immediately delivers a list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description. Visit Indeed.com/credit. We're traffic on the sevens. I'm Joe Nolan, Talk Radio 77, WABC.
Thank you very much. I told you I saw this incredible article with beautiful pictures and lots of great information on the top 50 most beautiful places in the world. And some I've been to, many I have not. But I kind of curated it down to the top five that I think are the most unique, incredible, and beautiful places. And I'm going to suggest these places for you to put on your bucket list. That's coming up in your Jet Set Juliet travel update at 5:40. But first, oh, also on this day, we've got some good ones today. And we're going to get over to those momentarily. But first, let's head over to the news desk for Deb Valentine and her headlines.
Red Apple Media is proud to celebrate 100 years as one of America's most influential radio stations and New York's first. WABC. And WLIR-FM Hampton Bays.
From around the world to around the block, this is a WABC 77 Second News Update.
I'm Deborah Valentine. Democrats in the U.S. Senate expected to unveil a $3.5 trillion budget proposal to help with the national infrastructure bill today. Now, Republican Congressman James Comer says he thinks this new infrastructure bill amounting to $1 trillion will simply mean higher taxes. He told Fox,
"You're going to have to raise taxes on more than the very wealthy people," as Chuck Schumer said it.
And the Senate preparing to vote on this bipartisan infrastructure bill later today. Well, the leader of the Time's Up hashtag MeToo era movement, Roberta Kaplan, has resigned. She'd been under fire for advising New York Governor Andrew Cuomo's administration in its efforts to discredit one of Cuomo's accusers. There has been an arrest in that brutal killing of a beloved 91-year-old Bronx man. Police say 32-year-old Luis Bonilla of the Bronx is charged in the death of Nicholas Rappa. A man shot and killed in Huntington Station late Monday night. Police received a 911 call of gunshots, finding a man lying in the roadway. He was pronounced dead at Huntington Hospital. His name not yet released, and so far, no arrest just yet. A drag racing driver still at large after allegedly striking and killing a woman and injuring a man after the vehicle. The person was driving jumped the curb. This happened on Utica Avenue early yesterday in the Crown Heights section of Brooklyn. And finally, 10 people have been arrested, 89 dogs seized in the bust of the largest dog-fighting ring in Suffolk County history, announced yesterday by D.A. Timothy Sini. He says it extended from Long Island and Uniondale, Hempstead, and Nassau County to New York City, Connecticut, and Massachusetts. That's your 77-second WABC News update. Juliet will have your forecast from the Ramsey Subaru Weather Center. Right now, we have a reading of 70 degrees, mostly cloudy skies. I'm Deborah Valentine.
The rooster for your morning. All the news you need to know. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Welcome back, everybody. On this day, August 10th, 1675, King Charles II and the first royal astronomer, actually they called him First Astronomer Royal, John Flamsteed, laid the foundation stone to the Royal Observatory in Greenwich, London.
On this day in 1821, Missouri became the 24th state.
Oh, and they call it Missouri now. On this day in 1776, during the American Revolutionary War, of course, word of the United States Declaration of Independence finally reaches the shores of the UK. Actually, it finally reaches the city of London. So I could say the shores of the Thames, more likely.
On this day in 1945, Japan announced they would surrender as long as Emperor Hirohito would remain uncharged. This comes a day after the atomic bombing of Nagasaki.
Well, on this day, August 10th in 1792, oh, this is my wheelhouse. I love these ones. A large-scale insurrection against the French monarchy takes place in Paris. This was the insurrection that essentially was a defining moment in the French Revolution, when these armed revolutionaries in Paris, not happy with the French monarchy, stormed the Tuileries Palace. The conflict led France to abolish the monarchy and behead Marie Antoinette and Louis XVI, and also establish a republic, and also kill their son.
On this day in 1949, the U.S. National Military Establishment changed its name to the Department of Defense.
Oh, interesting. And in this day in 1793, the Louvre Palace officially turns into a museum, the Museum Central des Arts.
On this day in 1966, the $2 bill was discontinued.
Oh.
Then they then brought it back in the late 70s.
Yeah, exactly. On this day in 1846, Congress passes an act, essentially, establishing the Smithsonian, which is now the world's largest museum and research complex.
On this day in 1977, David Berkowitz was arrested in Yonkers. He was accused of being the serial killer known as the Son of Sam.
Well, on this day back in 1960, Antonio Banderas was born in Malaga, Spain. Of course, did a great job in Evita, I have to say.
In 1993, on this day, Ruth Bader Ginsburg was sworn in as the second female justice on the Supreme Court.
Well, on this day, 1997, Kylie Jenner was born.
On this day in 1995, Hollywood madam Heidi Fleiss was convicted of conspiracy, tax evasion, and money laundering.
She was quite the story, wasn't she?
Yes.
She was like a big deal for a while there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't have any more. I got nothing for you.
All right. Well, all mine are taken.
Okay. All right. Good. Well, we should just move on then.
Sounds good to me.
Let's do some news. So this is just kind of in the wheelhouse of the on this day type thing. Former New York real estate heir Robert Durst finally took the stand in his trial Monday. It's a first degree murder trial. And he flatly denied murdering his close friend Susan Berman 20 years ago, actually more than 20 years ago. His defense attorney asked simply, did you kill Susan Berman? And he said, no. And then he said, do you know, the defense attorney asked Durst, do you know who did? And he said, no. That's how he talks. Prosecutors say that Durst, who is now 78 years old, but tries to pretend like he's about 150, they say that he shot Berman execution style to try to prevent her from incriminating him in the disappearance of his first wife, Kathy, who disappeared back in 1982. And I don't believe her body has ever been found. In fact, I know it hasn't. His legal team, Durst's legal team, has said that he found Berman's body. He panicked and he fled to Texas, but he felt very guilty. So he sent a letter to police that read cadaver with his friend's address.
5:37, time for traffic and transit on the 7s with Joe Nolan. Hey there, Joe.
And Frank and Juliet, we've got, again, this problem in the southern state now on the westbound side coming into the Cross Island. There is an accident there. It's still in the process of being cleared. We still have that road work on the northbound side of the Van Wyck leaving Kennedy Airport, heading up towards Rockaway Boulevard. Also on the Staten Island bound upper level of the Verrazano, all lanes are closed there. That for maintenance. Good news with New Jersey Transit Trains. The last 2 days we've been telling you about the Port Jervis line. That is now back on or close to schedule. They've got that bridge repaired and alternate side of the street parking. Rules and regulations again today are in effect. With traffic on the 7s, I'm Joe Nolan, Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you very much, Joseph. Well, I know that you guys wait for it like I do. It's Frank's Business Report. Frank, I think we should call it a name. It needs a name.
Yeah. Well, I mean, a lot of the fans call it the FBR.
Oh, I kind of like Biz Buzz.
That's not bad, actually. I like that, too.
Okay, well, you decided.
Stocks were down yesterday. The NASDAQ was the lone bright spot for the stock market. It was up 24 points, but the S&P 500 lost 4 points, and the Dow Jones lost 106 points. Well, some Wall Street executives are in line to see year-end bonuses up to 35% higher this year. New data from compensation consulting firm Johnson Associates show the biggest jumps in bonuses will go to investment banking underwriters. They'll reap the benefits from a surge in multi-billion dollar deals like Discovery and NBC Universal. Investment banking revenues are soaring thanks to the boom in deal making, capital raising, and IPOs. Bill Gates is slipping down the list of the world's richest people. The Microsoft co-founder has moved from fourth to fifth richest after a fresh set of stock transfers to his ex-wife, Melinda French Gates. His new net worth is a measly $129.6 billion, putting him slightly below Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg. Melinda Gates' net worth is now an estimated $5.6 billion. The two are still in the process of dividing up assets after their divorce was finalized last week, Juliet.
Only 5.6?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. She was there by his side the entire time. Come on.
She's got $5.6 billion.
Piddly.
She didn't invent anything.
I'd take it.
She
did put up with a lot, apparently. Okay, so moving
on.
She's getting
$5.6 billion.
It's just not enough. That wouldn't carry me a month. All right, let's move on right now. In your Jet Set Julia travel update, Big 7 Travel has named its top 50 most beautiful places in the world. Now, I usually really love their features, and for the most part, I agree with their travel bloggers. But when you put in Venice at number 43 on the list, I'm sorry. I don't know. But anyway, for me, it's number one, as you know. But I also haven't been all around the world. But I will say there are a few really amazing spots that, frankly, I never even considered and in some cases never even heard of. But after looking at the pictures and reading about the places, I am definitely intrigued. So here is my list that's been curated from their list of the top places that I've never been, but I'm now curious about. And I'm going to post the link on my Twitter at Jet Set Juliet so you can see for yourself and maybe get inspired as well. I don't know about you guys. I've never seen this before, which is really strange. Tamil Nadu, India. It is a state in the southern tip, essentially, of India. All I needed was one look at the mind-blowing ancient sites known as the Great Living Chola Temples, and I was hooked. I am dying to go there now. The area is the homeland of one of humanity's living classical civilizations dating back 2 millennia. There are yoga retreats for the spiritual. Certain parts were under French rule till the mid-1950s, so you've got a bit of a European flavor there. You could head to the state's capital, which is home to beaches and also home to Fort St. George, which was a British military garrison, and also an East India Company trading post. If you are a beachgoer, you can head all the way down south to the southernmost tip of Tamil Nadu, which is the southernmost tip of India, where three seas meet. But I have to tell you, these temples, I posted a picture, or posted several pictures, actually, on my Twitter, Jet Set Juliet. These are just insane. Absolutely insane. That's number five. Number four, Zakynthos, Greece. This is a bit more off the beaten path than, let's say, Santorini or Mykonos. It's definitely one of the more exotic Greek islands. The waters off the Ionian Sea are literally turquoise and crystal clear. I mean, it's just beautiful. One beach even has a shipwreck on it. I love the fact that the main town actually has a Venetian vibe, of course. Shocker. Because it was captured actually by the Ottomans back in 1478, but then conquered by Venice a few years later, in whose hands it remained till the fall of the Venetian Republic in 1797, when it turned over to the French and that little guy with the big inferiority complex. Napoleon, obviously. Number three, this is also just stunning. Trolltunga, Norway. If you saw my Twitter, you saw a picture of this jaw-dropping place. I teased it. I don't know how else to describe this place. It's a rock formation above a lake overlooking fjords and snow-capped mountains. It is God's country, period. It's one of the world's most popular hiking sites, and the coup de grace is that there is this particular rock that juts out about 700 meters above this ice-blue lake. It looks like the rock thing that juts out, it looks like a tongue. And in fact, Trolltunga means troll tongue. So I'm not much of a hiker, but I think I'd become one if I could visit this place. You can actually stay in nearby Oda, which is a beautiful Norwegian town along the southern portion of Norway, famous for its waterfalls, its boat tours to the glaciers, and its incredible views. All right, number two, I can't believe I've never been here yet, but it's Mont Saint-Michel, France. This is like, I mean, if you look at it, it's like a castle that just juts up out of the water in the middle of the sea off the coast of France, no less. If you visit Normandy or Brittany, you can potentially see it off the coast. It's kind of stranded between the tides of both Normandy and Brittany. There's a Gothic abbey that's perched on the top of the mountain. It dates back to 708. It was built to honor Archangel Michel. When it's low tide, you can actually walk from the coast across the sand to the islands. You have to be very careful about this to make sure that you're not walking when high tide comes in. You won't stay on Mont Saint-Michel. I think there are like 45 residents there. But there are gorgeous villages like the walled town of Saint-Malo, which is nearby. The bay itself is famous for its oyster farms, fed by high-quality plankton that grows in the waters there. So you can expect a lot of restaurants featuring mollusks till your heart's content. And finally, number one, this is a place near and dear. It's right in our own backyard. It's Antelope Canyon, Arizona. I mean, this is Instagram heaven. The pictures of this place are breathtaking, and I'm told that they don't even do the real thing justice. It's a monumental geological natural sandstone formation, and it is surreal. You almost can't believe it really exists. But just head to Page, Arizona, which is in the northern part of the state. Just go east a little bit, and you'll come upon these wave-like formations that look like rainbows on acid. That is a place that I definitely want to go, and it's a lot easier to get to than some of these other places. But if you're interested in any of these, make sure you go to my Twitter account or Instagram at Jet Set Juliet, and you'll see everything you need to know.
All right.
Yeah.
Very substantive.
Trolltunga.
Places there.
Troll's Tongue.
I like it. Troll's Tongue.
It seems like a place that you'd fit in.
I think so. I'm not sure how to take that, but I'll take it. All right. At 5:45, thanks to Peerless Boilers, this is what's happening in the world of sports. Well, New York Yankees outfielder Giancarlo Stanton held nothing back as he crushed a ball at 122.2 miles per hour last night against the Royals in Kansas City, tying his own record in 2017. The hit was turned into a double play, but the Yankees ended up winning 8-6 in extra innings over the Kansas City Royals.
Stanton has hit the hardest seven balls all season, with Monday's hit beating out a 120.2 mile per hour shot back in June. The Yankees will look to continue their hot play tonight when they face the Royals in Kansas City. Nestor Cortez expected to start for the Yankees. The left-hander doesn't have a decision yet on his record. He'll be opposed by Daniel Lynch for Kansas City. The southpaw is 2-3 for the Royals this season. The Mets will look to right the ship tonight when they welcome the Nationals to Queens. Carlos Carrasco scheduled to take the ball from Luis Rojas and start the game for the Mets. The right-hander has only made a handful of starts and does not have a decision to his record yet. He'll be opposed by Paolo Espino. The right-hander's 3-3 for the Nationals this year. The Giants will take on the Jets in preseason action at MetLife Stadium on Saturday. And the Rangers are locking up their goalie. Rangers general manager Chris Drury announced a new deal with restricted free agent Igor Shesterkin on Monday as a 4-year deal that carries an annual value of $5.6 million. Well, Joe Nolan, not a Ranger fan, but no, certainly a very, very astute fan of traffic reporting. You optimistic about the Devils' season this year, Joe?
Yes, they're going to be better. They're not going to be great. I don't know if they're a playoff team, but they're going to be a lot better than they were last year. All my teams are going to be better.
Well, I like that.
The Jets are going to be better. Rutgers is going to be better. Everybody's going to be better.
So. All right.
Southern State westbound, the Cross Island Parkway, an accident, one lane out of service. Also, I have 8 tickets for every Rutgers game. You guys got to come down tailgate with us and have a good time.
That'd be great.
When does the season start?
They start Labor Day weekend.
Oh, all right. Well, we'll do that.
So, Southern State westbound, the Cross Island, an accident, one lane out. Also, Trans Authority, downtown R Trains, police activity, that's at 4th Avenue. So, as a result, some delays. Now, the Port Jervis line on New Jersey Transit back to full service today. But there is a little bit of a problem. The 526 from Jersey Avenue, which is due in Penn Station at 638, has been canceled. They want you to take the next train, but that train doesn't leave Jersey Avenue until 625. So, those people who are sitting there are going to wait an hour for the next train. And alternate side of the street parking rules again today are in effect. The support of service of the law firm of Nona Schick. If you've got an injury, maybe they can help you. Dial 1-855-90-LAW for you. That's 855-90-5299. The law of Nona Schick. Offices in Manhattan, Bronx, Queens. Attorney advertising. I'm Joe Nolan. Traffic on the 7s. Talk Radio 77. WABC.
Thank you very much, sir. Let's get to a quick weather forecast for you from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center. We have an excessive heat warning. It's just going to be really hot and really muggy over the next few days. This will actually be the coolest day of, I'd say, the next probably 5 days or so. We're only going to get up to 85 degrees today. We'll have some clouds this morning and scattered thunderstorms developing in the afternoon. Tomorrow, we're looking at temperatures to soar up to about 92 degrees with partly cloudy skies. May have a stray shower or thunderstorm. And may see some sun pop out there too. Thursday, we're jumping up to 95 degrees. Thursday and Friday look pretty similar. We're going to have partly cloudy skies both days, hot, humid, maybe a stray shower or thunderstorm possible on Friday. And by Friday evening, the skies clear up, cools off a little bit to a balmy 78 degrees. And by Saturday, it jumps right back up into the 90s. Maybe some clouds early, scattered showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon, but also some sun popping out. It's going to be, you know, just one of those typical kind of hot August, muggy, weird days with some rain. Then it clears and it's sunny. And again, it's cloudy, you know, so just prepare yourself. But after that, after this weekend, it looks like things are starting to cool down a little bit, getting into the mid to low 80s. So I guess that's something to look forward to. I mean, we are going to be in the dog days of summer momentarily.
Yeah. Tensions remain high between the Chicago Police Department and Mayor Lori Lightfoot. Reports say a group of CPD officers turned their back on the mayor when she paid a visit to a hospital Saturday night. Lightfoot visited the University of Chicago Medical Center after one officer was shot and killed in the line of duty and another was seriously wounded. The father of the wounded officer scolded the mayor and blamed her for what had happened. The mayor's office released a statement addressing the incident, saying, "Emotions run high in a time of tragedy."
That's understandable. Well, this is not the best news. Corona cases among children are surging here in the United States. Doctors say that they're seeing more critically ill pediatric patients than at any other point during the pandemic. So from July 22nd to the 29th, a very short period of time there, the number of new cases in children nearly doubled to around 72,000, according to the American Academy of Pediatrics. Children now make up about 20% of all the cases in the U.S. And unfortunately, the number of kids who are entering the hospital with COVID is climbing. Down in Louisiana, nearly 3,500 children tested positive in just a few days, and the average age of pediatric patients dropped to just 5 years old. This is a big concern. Obviously, you know, in the past, the one bright spot about the infections were that, you know, they essentially mostly spared children. That might be changing. It's not quite clear yet because it's still pretty early on. Most kids, as we know at this point, with COVID-19 have mild symptoms, you know, just basically runny nose, maybe a low-grade fever, congestion, cough, stuff like that. But there are some serious cases, and that is a big concern. Small share so far, especially of kids with pre-existing conditions, are showing that they develop severe disease. They show up at the hospital with pneumonia or in respiratory distress. Others are essentially developing lingering neurological, physical, or psychiatric symptoms known as long COVID. So it does seem like this variant is a bit different compared to the previous variants as far as children go.
A new report is praising Utah for having the best economic recovery following the COVID pandemic. Forbes says that Utah has seen the highest grossing gross domestic product growth of any state in America so far this year. It helps that the state had the highest GDP in its history in the first quarter of this year at more than $178 billion. Last week's report also credited Utah with the smallest year-to-year decline in GDP during the pandemic.
Well, there's a little bit of a tussle going on between legendary rockers. So Brian May of Queen has just one word to describe people who are against the COVID vaccine. He calls them fruitcakes. And apparently that applies to one of his, as he says, his heroes, Eric Clapton. Now, Clapton, as you know, has been very vocal and outspoken against the vaccine and the lockdown since they began. Brian May ended up doing an interview with The Independent out of the UK, and he said, "I love Clapton. He's my hero, but we're very different. We have disagreements. He's a person who thinks it's okay to shoot animals for fun." But he said that he would never stop respecting Clapton. And he said, yes, anti-vax people are fruitcakes. There's plenty of evidence to show that vaccinations help. Representatives for Clapton did not immediately respond to requests for comment.
Speaking of vaccinations, as vaccinations increase in the state, the FBI is issuing a warning about possible fines for making or possessing fake vaccination cards. Yesterday, the Department of Justice said that misrepresenting the official seal of a federal agency like the CDC is punishable by a fine of up to $5,000 or 2 years in jail. Just last month, the FBI arrested a naturopathic doctor in California for issuing false vaccination cards.
All right, this is a very exciting discovery to tell you about, Frank. There's newly excavated evidence that suggests that Romans shipped lions and exotic animals to Britain, killing prisoners, I guess, and people that they weren't happy with. Apparently, you know, we were always under the impression that these, you know, the gladiator fights and the things where they threw in human beings to fight against whatever type of vicious animal, we were always under the impression that it happened in the Roman Colosseum. You know, you watch the movie Gladiator, I'm sure. But apparently, some scientists found an engraved bronze key, and it was excavated during the a dig in Leicester, and it suggests that the animal killings also took place in Britain. It's a handle, essentially a bronze key handle, and it depicts an unarmed barbarian wrestling with a lion, but four naked young men appearing to be terrorized. Oh, boy. The artifact was found in the city center, which is now the Novotel Hotel, just about a 10-minute walk from the parking lot where Richard III was famously discovered in 2012.
All right.
I think we should start digging there. Who knows what we'll find.
Exactly. All right. A Rhode Island man is surprising his father with a special treasure. Jim O'Brien says his father's class ring from Boston University was stolen 2 decades ago. 20 years later, a woman cleaning a home she had just bought found the ring and posted about it on social media. She hoped to reunite it with its owner, which is exactly what happened. O'Brien saw the post, identified the ring, and was able to pick it up and shock his father, who was delighted to have it back.
We have a little bit of an update now. So we have a big concert coming up at Liberty State Park. I believe it's at the end of this month, if I'm not mistaken. Or am I wrong?
I had thought that was in September on the eve of the Siller Walk.
Potentially. Anyway, Leonard Skinner is supposed to be performing, but they have canceled their upcoming concerts, at least some of their upcoming concerts, because their guitarist, Ricky Medlock, tested positive for COVID. They made the announcement on Saturday that they're canceling 4 shows on the summer concert tour. Apparently, they were set to co-headline the Pro Football Hall of Fame concert last night with Brad Paisley, but they had to withdraw. The band members wrote on social media that Medlock, who is 71, is home resting and he's responding well to treatment. And this actually comes just a few weeks after the band's other guitarist, Gary Rossington, underwent emergency heart surgery. So he missed out on several concerts and was replaced by Alabama-based guitarist Damon Johnson. So I hope he gets better soon.
Absolutely.
I really like to see them.
Wishing him the best. I'm sure he'll be fine. 5:57. It's always fine whenever we get a traffic report from Joe Nolan. How are the roads looking this morning, Joe?
Well, as you travel on the westbound side of the Southern State, Frank, you're backed up from Franklin Avenue right to the Cross Island Parkway. An accident, one lane out. Also delays on the southbound drive coming down into the 70s. Again, that construction still 2 lanes are out, but they should be picking that up. In fact, all the road work from the overnight should be in the process of being picked up as we speak. Transit Authority still delays on the downtown R trains. Again, the police activity, that continues. We're also going to be looking at delays as you start to head out on the New Jersey Transit's Port Jervis line. They are now back on or close, but you might look for a delay or two along the way. And then also don't forget that train from Jersey Avenue, the 526, which was due at Penn Station at 6:38. That's train 3702, was canceled. So if you're along the line there and you're waiting for it, it's not going to show up. An alternate side again today is in effect. The support of service of Wendy's breakfast. Set your alarm and wake up to a better breakfast at Wendy's this Friday, August 13th and Saturday, August 14th for a free sausage, egg, and Swiss or bacon, egg, and Swiss breakfast croissant sandwich. That's it. Free. No catch. No purchase necessary. Available during breakfast hours only. I'm Joe Nolan with traffic on Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you very much, Mr. Nolan. Quick check on the weather. We're going to have a warm day today, but that's nothing compared to the next few days, basically up until Sunday. It's just going to be very, very hot, very, very muggy. Sunday, the temperatures drop down to 83 degrees. We will see some major humidity and also a lot of clouds, maybe some peaks of sun, but potentially rain and thunderstorms possible over the next few days up until Sunday. So unfortunately, it's just going to be a muggy mess out there for the next few days. 72 degrees right now, though, in New York City.
All right. We have a whole lot more news coming your way, including the latest on Governor Andrew Cuomo. We've got sports, traffic, weather, and something that's going to be of a great deal of interest to Juliet Huddy. Ancient Pompeii Restaurant is getting ready to open to the public.
Whoa.
They're not exactly known for their fresh fish and vegetables. Spoiler alert. We'll tell you about that. And what's happening in this infrastructure bill that everybody is waiting and watching to see. But first, we have 77 seconds of news coming your way with the one and only, the inimitable, Deb Valentine.
Media is proud to celebrate 100 years as one of America's most influential radio stations and New York's first.
WABC, New York.
And WLIR-FM, Hampton Bays.
From around the world to around the block, this is a WABC 77 Second News Update.
I'm Deborah Valentine. Well, the U.S. Senate on track today to give final approval to its $1 trillion infrastructure plan. The leader of the Time's Up hashtag MeToo era movement, Roberta Kaplan, has resigned. She's under fire for advising New York Governor Andrew Cuomo's administration in its efforts to try and discredit one of Cuomo's accusers. In a report, the New York State Attorney General last week found Cuomo sexually harassed 11 women, the governor maintaining he did nothing wrong. 14 gang members under arrest up in Westchester County in the brutal beating of a 33-year-old man on North Broadway back in June during a memorial event for a community leader. Officials say the gang members belong to the violent 300 Bloodhound Street Gang. 11 suspects are adults, 3 adolescents. The victim is recovering after initially suffering life-threatening injuries. There's also been an arrest in the killing of a beloved 91-year-old Bronx man. Police say 32-year-old Luis Bonilla of the Bronx charged in the death of Nicholas Rapa. He's charged with murder, manslaughter, robbery, and assault. Rapa was found in a shed, bound and beaten. And 10 people arrested, 89 dogs seized in Suffolk County's largest dog-fighting ring in its history. D.A. Timothy Sini announced it yesterday. He said this ring extended not only from Long Island, but to New York City, Connecticut, and Massachusetts. That's your 77-second WABC News update. Juliet will have your forecast from the Ramsey Subaru Weather Center. Right now, we have a reading of 71, mostly cloudy. I'm Deborah Valentine.
Hi, everybody. I'm Jack Hanna.
The Rooster for your morning. All the news you need to know. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Well, good morning. A couple of minutes after 6, this is the WABC Early News. I'm Frank Morano.
Hello, Frank Morano. I'm Juliet Huddy. Hey, I have some really crazy news that just came out.
Ooh.
Primetime Emmy-winning actor Christina Applegate has revealed that she has multiple sclerosis. She actually revealed it in a Twitter post last night, and she says it's a strange journey, and she's supported by people that she knows who have the condition. She says she's asking for privacy as she goes through this thing.
I'm sorry to hear that.
It's
a tough thing to go through for anybody, and wishing her the best.
Yeah, it's got to be very jarring when you find that out.
Oh, I can imagine. All right. Well, a Missouri fisherman's recent haul on a fishing trip is breaking state and world records. The Show Me State angler showed off a giant carp he caught that weighed just over 125 pounds. The Missouri Conservation Department tweeted the catch breaks the state record. It also broke the bow fishing world record by about 25 pounds. The fisherman, Matt Newling, says he was with a buddy when he made the snag and says there's no way he could have pulled it out of the water without his friend there.
So, you know, people are complaining about this vaccine card, and so it's easy to, like, fake and come up with a fake one. It's falling apart already in my wallet. So I would really love, I mean, I have the Excelsior Pass thing that shows that I've been vaccinated, and I guess that's cool. But apparently there's a new thing out that people are quite curious and intrigued by. It's a wearable wristband that you could carry your COVID-19 vaccination the card's information in, and it would tell others around you that you have been fully vaccinated. It's called Immuniband. It's a blue silicone bracelet. It has a built-in QR code that carries your COVID vaccination card's information, and it can be used as a backup for people who, you know, lose their CDC vaccination card. And it also shows an outward display that a person has been fully vaccinated, obviously. So I don't know. Is this something that you would be considering?
Well, I'm not sure I understand the benefit. I guess it's more durable than the card.
Yeah, yeah. It's a silicone. Yeah, you just wear it around your wrist.
Yeah.
I mean, it's $19.99. I don't know. I don't have a problem with that.
No, I mean, so far, the only place that's asked for, well, I guess we'll see once more places start asking for proof of vaccination. Maybe I'll feel differently. But so far, I've not been asked to show that card once, except by the folks at work. They said to send in a digital copy.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did that as well. Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know that I want to spend $20.
That's what I'm saying.
You know, if I can walk around with the Excelsior Pass, why would I do that? But I guess it's just sort of peace of mind. You just have it. Everybody knows that you've had it. You know, you've been vaccinated. I guess it's like a little I don't know, like a little thing to wear with pride.
Yeah, well, that's what it strikes me as that it would become, is just more virtue signaling as a way for, you know, for people to show off that they're vaccinated.
Well, I don't know, showing off. I mean, I want people to know that I'm vaccinated. Like I said, when I went to that party over the weekend and I heard somebody say they're not vaccinated, I don't want to hang around with them. Mm. I'm not interested in that. Yeah. I want to be around people who've been vaccinated. Yeah. I don't want to get sick.
No, I understand.
So,
that.
I mean, if I don't have to ask, then that makes me feel a little bit safer.
Yep. Well, to each his or her own.
Yeah.
At 6:07 here to bring us the traffic is the fully vaccinated Joe Nolan.
For a while now.
Yeah, we wouldn't let you do traffic on this show if you weren't.
Well, let's get outside. We're going to tell you a couple of things. First off, Southern State westbound now backed up to Linden Boulevard all the way on into the Cross Island. Again, that accident in the left lane, that is still in the process of being cleared up by the police. We also have all lanes have been reopened in Franklin, Princeton Township, Bunker Hill Road. There had been some flooding there. They got that out of the way. Now, if you're traveling on the Van Wyck, we still have that full closure northbound between the Belt Parkway and Rockaway Boulevard. But again, they're in the process of getting that out of the way. Same thing on the drive southbound coming down into the 70s. Again, the good news on Jersey Transit, Port Jervis line is back to full service. And if you're traveling southbound on the R trains, we have problems getting through 4th Avenue with police activity. Now, Mass Transit running, other than that, right on or close. Alternate side is in effect. With traffic on the 7s, I'm Joe Nolan, Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you very much, Joseph P. Nolan, B. Nolan, rather. There is good news. There are a lot of jobs out there. Frank, you had mentioned this earlier. The bad news is people don't seem to want to work. Mm. There's new data out, came out yesterday. It shows that there are now more jobs available than the total number of unemployed Americans. And the blame is resting, according to experts, on lazy folks who'd rather sit around eating bonbons and collecting taxpayer money. Now, that was my editorializing. No, but it is so bad that companies that never previously did are now offering signing bonuses and incentives like free childcare to get people, you know, signing up.
Well, you are going to love this, Juliet. An ancient restaurant is getting ready for a grand reopening after more than 2,000 years. A thermopolium, described as a fast food and drink counter, was recently excavated in Pompeii and will open to the public this week. Volcanic ash from the devastating eruption of Mount Vesuvius in 79 AD helped preserve the food counter in pretty good condition. It offered pork, fish, beef, and other options, and The Guardian reports this type of restaurant was frequented by poorer residents who didn't have their own kitchen at home. It will open to the public on August 12th.
Mm, that sounds amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to head out there. All right. Well, also amazing would be winning an Emmy. Be absolutely awesome. But being presented your Emmy statue by none other than Meghan and Harry, the Duke and Duchess of Sussex. For many of us, that would be a royal treat. And it may happen, actually, for one lucky recipient. Executives at the Emmys are reportedly working overtime to try and book the rebel royals for this year's show. They do have a vested interest, obviously. Their tell-all with Oprah is nominated for Outstanding Hosted Nonfiction Series. And speaking of the royals, this much-anticipated
animated... They can get time off from their jobs.
Well, you know, they are actually kind of busy. You mock them all you want, but they are very active. They're just doing things that are philanthropic.
Yes.
But speaking of, the anticipated animated series on the royal family is out, and as expected, it's making waves among royal lovers. HBO Max's The Prince was created by Family Guy producer Gary Jannetty, who in turn spun off his own Instagram account, centering on the future heir to the throne, now 8-year-old Prince George. Absolutely the most hysterical Instagram account ever. It was such a hit that it has now turned into a TV show. Behold the Prince. I haven't seen it yet. I really would like to. It looks pretty funny.
And what network is it going to be on?
It's HBO Max.
HBO.
It's already out.
Right.
Yep.
Political donors are calling on Lieutenant Governor Kathy Hochul to run for governor as Andrew Cuomo tries to save his career. This as the New York State Assembly Judiciary Committee kicked off its impeachment probe into the governor yesterday. The city reports Governor Cuomo has floated the idea of ditching his run for a fourth term in exchange for not being impeached. But officials say he won't get off that easy. The governor also has until Friday to present evidence against the Attorney General's report, which alleges he sexually harassed at least 11 women.
Lovely. All right. They are one of my favorite animals, and now it's clear why. We have a lot in common. A study found female giraffes go through menopause early to ensure that they stop reproducing so that they can look after their grandchildren and preserve their genes. Well, that's the story.
Okay.
All right. We had a lot in common.
Well, I mean, did you go through it prematurely?
I did. I did. Yeah. I was 42.
Wow.
Yeah. Interesting.
That is interesting.
Yeah. And it wasn't too bad, I have to say. I do remember once sitting on set at Fox 5. I thought somebody came up with like a hot iron or something and put it right to my neck. I was like, what is going on? But it was just menopause. It was a hot flash.
I'm not sure there's much I can add to this conversation. So let me tell you about what's happening. All right. Well, actually, speaking of heating up, Mayor de Blasio says now is the time to act on global warming. His urgency comes in response to a report from the UN, which declares global warming will get irreversibly worse over the next three decades because countries around the globe have failed to address the issue. Mayor de Blasio says the report has made it clear that we will live with some major consequences like higher temperatures. He called on the world's leaders to fight back before conditions get even worse.
The Lord of the Rings is coming to your television screens. Were you a fan of the movies?
No, I wasn't.
You know, I'm curious about them, I guess, just because I like TV series, like the Game of Thrones type thing. I'm just not really that familiar with the Lord of the Rings. But anyway, it is one major production. It's an Amazon series, and it has a whopping, get this, $465 million budget.
Huh. Wow.
Yeah, it begins with an untitled prequel series based on the movies. It's reportedly set in Middle Earth's Second Age, whatever that means. Overall, the series has a $1 billion budget over 5 years. $1 billion over 5 years, making it the most expensive TV show in history, with a bullet, I think. Clearly, the money's going to the production portion because the ensemble cast is mostly unknowns. Hmm. Yeah.
Central Park's popular owl, Barry, is being honored by the community. Aww. Last night, a vigil was held in the Ramble near the hemlock tree where she lived. Barry died Friday after colliding with a park maintenance truck. Monday would have marked 10 months since Barry was discovered in the park.
Poor Barry. So my mom has a cat that she rescued who was feral. Many years ago, actually. And it's been living with her in her apartment in Hoboken, but she brings it out here with the dogs, when she has to go see my brother. So we've been taking care of the cat, and the cat is just amazing. Dotsie, its name is. I definitely want to change that name. But, beautiful cat. But she's pretty much like decided she doesn't want to go back. She's absolutely fallen in love with our house and our yard and everything. So much so that she decided she wanted to bring us a gift, which was a dead bird. You know, apparently they do this, but she brings it right up to the little sliding back door. Just, the bird's just dead.
Oh.
Little wings all mangled and everything.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. When my wife and I were in our prior apartment, one day my wife calls me downstairs. Our three cats are surrounding a severed bird head. Just the head. Presumably they'd eaten the rest of the bird, and they were presenting the head, I guess, to us as a gift.
Yes. Thanks, Mommy and Daddy. Yeah, my dog Winnie was out in the back, and she seemed fixated on something. I finally went over there. I'm like, what is that? Oh, my God. It was like some carcass with maggots. Oh, it's horrible. Anyway, I do love animals. And I feel very
Except
sorry for the bird
daddy
that was killed.
Long legs spiders.
Oh yeah, those are insects that are disgusting or whatever they're called. Lake Tahoe, by the way, one of the most beautiful places in the country, would not suggest visiting quite yet. Officials there announced one of the vacation spots' beaches is closed after chipmunks tested positive for the bubonic plague.
Well, 6:15, let's get a look at sports thanks to Peerless Boilers. The Yankees prevailed over the Royals in extra innings, beating the Royals 8-6 in Kansas City. Luke Voit homered and drove in a pair as the Yankees won 9 of their last 11. Clay Holmes took the win in relief while Wandy Peralta nailed down the save. Lopez had a pair of hits and an RBI before leaving the game with an injury to his upper body. Kansas City matched the Yankees' scoring output in the 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th innings. Greg Holland took the loss, his 5th. Yankees currently in 3rd place in the AL East,
6 games behind the Tampa Bay Rays. They'll look to continue their hot streak, the Yankees that is, tonight when they face the Royals in Kansas City. The Mets, who have been struggling and have fallen out of first place, will try to bounce back against the Washington Nationals, where they will see the right-hander Carlos Carrasco take on the left-hander Luis Rojas. Paulo Espina. And in football, the Giants are happy to see number 26 back on the field. Saquon Barkley was activated from the physically unable to perform list Monday for the first time since tearing his ACL since early last season. The New York running back said he's working toward being ready for the season opener September 12th. The Giants will take on the Jets in the first preseason game on Saturday at MetLife Stadium.
Next Saturday.
Oh, it's not this Saturday?
No.
Are you certain?
No.
Because Joe Nolan thinks he's going
Nolan's doing traffic, not sports.
Joe Nolan, are you not going to be at MetLife Stadium on Saturday?
It's the 14th.
Well, this is... See, Sid,
it's this
no
Saturday.
One told you to stop doing sport. No, it's this Saturday.
No, it's next Saturday.
It's this Saturday. So, let me look at the... I have the ticket right in front of me. Hold on.
Poor Joe Nolan is going to be standing outside of MetLife Stadium
by
himself.
Yeah, I'll be out of the parking lot by myself.
Yeah.
a tailgate of one. I'm pretty sure it's this Saturday.
When is it, Joe?
I'm looking. Hold on. Right. August 14th.
I told you.
Which is this Saturday.
Saturday.
Oh, my gosh. Just say you were wrong, Sid. It's okay.
It's going to be hot.
See, so Sid is no longer content to spread inaccurate information when it comes to politics. Now he's spreading
right.
it when it comes to sports.
What's the matter?
Yes. All right.
Are you going to be there, Sid?
Are you going to the game?
When is it? Next Saturday?
A week from Saturday.
I may go. I do have 4 tickets, but I have to convince the rest of the folks, and I don't think they want to go, so we'll see.
All right.
Will you do something special if I go? Will you announce
me
or something?
Yeah, I was going to invite you to my tailgate party.
He's a fan. He's not announcing.
It's a giant home
game.
That's right. Yeah, probably not going to go.
All right, fine.
You having a party?
Yeah.
Who's coming?
My son and a couple of his buddies from college.
Can I go to the tailgate without having to go to the game?
Sure.
Do they let you do that?
Why would you even ask? Of course you can.
Well, no, because sometimes maybe they charge you for going into the parking lot.
Well, they charge you $10. So what? You make $5 million a year.
Yes, that's exactly. That's exactly. Making Chris Cuomo money. All right. How's all that traffic? We'd ideally like the traffic for today rather than next Tuesday, Joe.
Right, exactly. When the Giant game is. Southern State, Franklin Avenue, the Cross Island, an accident, one lane going to be out of service. On the LIE, we're slow at Queens Boulevard, a crash. Again, one lane out of service there. Also on the drive southbound now at 96th Street, a right lane accident still being clear. We still have delays on the R train, sending southbound. Police activity, that's at 4th Avenue. And also, don't forget, too, the Port Jervis line now back to full service. So if you're up there in those counties that are serviced by that, you've got good news there. You'll be able to get into the city. Alderman sign again today is going to be in effect. Smart Mouth, the 24-hour mouthwash. Smart Mouth is the only mouthwash that can provide 24-hour fresh breath when used twice a day. Find Smart Mouth in the mouthwash aisle at Walgreens or visit smartmouth.com to find a retailer near you. With traffic on the 7s, I'm Joe Nolan, Talk Radio 77, WABC.
Thank you very much, Joe. Very quick final weather report for you from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center. Today we're looking at 85 degrees with clouds in the morning and scattered thunderstorms developing later on in the afternoon. Those will continue throughout the night. We're going to jump up to 92 degrees tomorrow with partly cloudy skies, maybe a stray shower or thunderstorm possible. Very hot and humid over the next few days. 95 degrees on Thursday, 95 degrees on Friday. Again, lots of humidity, maybe a stray shower or thunderstorm possible. As we get into the weekend, we're looking at 90 degrees with potentially scattered thunderstorms in the afternoon on Saturday. But Sunday, things clear up and actually cool off a bit. The temperature goes down to 83. The humidity goes down to the mid-50s. And by Monday, we're looking at nice day, low 80s. Currently, the temperature in New York City is 72 degrees. Funk.
Well, one final business report coming your way. Stocks retreated yesterday from Friday's record levels on global growth worries. At the closing bell, the Dow Jones Industrial fell 106, the S&P lost 4 points, and the NASDAQ rose 24 points. Corporate offices for Coca-Cola will remain closed due to the spread of the new COVID cases. The Atlanta-based company announced yesterday it won't be until at least mid-October when employees can return in office. AMC Entertainment is reaching an agreement with Warner Brothers to showcase all of the studio's 2022 slate in theaters for 45 days. AMC had a similar contract with Comcast-owned Universal last year that guaranteed theatrical exclusivity for at least 17 days before the film could go on demand. Warner Brothers had announced last month that it would return to cinema-only releases in 2022, with Warner Media CEO Jason Kilar saying theatrical releases will continue to be important to the business. And buy now, pay later is becoming more common in the world of online shopping, but experts warn it could come with the risk of defaults. The companies that offer the service don't perform credit checks, nor do they often report use of the service to credit bureaus. A report from Fitch Ratings raises concerns that lenders who don't know if a person has used the service could underestimate a borrower's debt level when approving new debt, Juliet.
Thank you very much. It is now time to talk with the famous Sidney Rosenberg, a.k.a. Sid.
Hey, good morning. How are you, Julia?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you very much.
I'm just reading a story about a woman who was murdered in one of the NYCHA houses, the Lewis Pink houses, because she was labeled a rat because she testified in a federal trial. And so she was murdered.
I saw that, too. Isn't that unbelievable?
God.
Yeah. A gang. It was a gang that killed her.
The 90s.
Yeah, I know. And she lives right close to where I live, actually, so... Mm. That's how we pay the high rent on the Upper West Side, folks. That's why. We got a monster show coming your way today. We're going to give you today's lineup instead of next Tuesday, okay? There you go. It is Tuesday. That means heroic cop and great actor Bo Dietl will be here. He's here every Tuesday on the Burning and Sid show coming up at 7:25. Then at 7:40, just for a couple of minutes, Mike Antonatis. He is one of the big shots at Maimonides Hospital. Mm. They got the big game coming up on Thursday against Dolores and the Housewives. We'll be at that game coming up at 6. And he'll stop by to talk about the game and the 110-year birthday for Maimonides Hospital. It's now 110 years old.
Wow.
8:40, we'll talk to Republican gubernatorial candidate Lee Zeldin. And then this one's got Frank all excited. 9:25, live in studio today, the great actor Frasier Crane from Cheers, from Frasier, Kelsey Grammer, live in studio with Bernie and Sid coming up at 9:25.
That's pretty cool. And people are going to be able to watch that in addition to hearing it if they go to WABCRadio.com. You can actually see the live video stream of Bernie and Sid with everybody, but including
the whole
Kelsey
show.
Grammer.
You know, I said this for so many years. I got tired of watching, you know, Boomer and Craig on SNY and Mike and the Mad Dog on Yes. And even I miss all those years on MSNBC and Fox Business. It was time to put Bernie and Sid on TV. And the show's now been on for about 2 weeks. Chad's daughter, Gabby, does a great job. And you can watch the show in its entirety from 6:30 to 10 at WABCRadio.com every morning. So pretty cool.
All right. What else is happening in terms of your evolving view of the Cuomo situation? Anything new from yesterday? You still think no way he resigns? He's going to be dragged out by the legislature.
I still feel that way. And of course, you look at the news today where he says, "I won't run again. Just don't impeach me." I don't think they'll do that. You know, it's funny. I was watching Cocaine Cowboys last night. Billy Corbin is a very good friend of mine, and he did all the
movies. Billy Corbin's a friend of yours?
Very, very good friend. He was on my radio show in Miami once a week for about 3 years.
Wow.
He used to split time between me and Paul Cashanova, if you know that name, Juliet. Mm-hmm. So, and he's been in studio with me and Bernie, Billy Corbin, even though he's completely on the opposite side of the political spectrum.
I love the guy. I think he's
great.
Awesome.
Very talented guy. So at one point, one of the Cocaine Cowboys, it was either Sal or Falcone, I forget, they got busted by the FBI, and they said, "Listen, I've got a house right now in Miami. There's 1,000 kilos of cocaine, street value of about $25 million. I'll show you the house. Let me go." And the cop said, "Well, it's a very nice offer, but we can't let you go." And it's kind of the same thing with Andrew Cuomo here, who says, "Hey, I won't run for re-election. Just don't impeach me.
I won't run for re-election.
Right, just don't impeach me.
I'm just going to go on with my life." I mean, it's like really, is that really a bargain for us?
No, it's kind of like the Cocaine Cowboy guy. You're not getting off because it's a house with 1,000 kilos of cocaine.
They would have at least seized the cocaine that could potentially kill people. What is it going to do if Andrew Cuomo isn't running for a fourth term?
you know what it does? I'll tell you what. As scary as it sounds, and again, Lee Zeldin will join me and Bernie today, and he's got the best chance, I believe, on the right, even though guys like Andrew Giuliani and Rob Astorino are legitimate candidates. The scary part is, if he runs, with all that's going on right now, I would not completely discount that he can win again.
Well, so let's say Cuomo does resign or he's impeached, and then you have a wide pool of Democrats who want to run. Kathy Hochul, Letitia James, let's say maybe Preet Bharara, Jemani Williams, Steve Ballone, Laura Curran, maybe even Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez or Tom Suozzi. Who do you think the toughest Democrat is for a guy like Zeldin to beat, and who's the one that you're most hoping for if you're Lee Zeldin?
Well, Hochul's got the best chance only because she's going to be governor for some time. If we get to that impeachment trial, of course, he's going to have to leave office. So she will be the governor, and she'll have to leave if, in fact, he gets in trouble, Cuomo. So she'll have the job. She'll have an opportunity right then and there to show people if she can or can't do it. That's a pretty big deal
for her.
That's true.
And she's pretty scandal-free. Would you? I would tend to agree with Sid on that, Juliet. What do you think?
Yeah, I would tend to agree. I mean, you know, it's sort of like she's on the wire. I mean, she's going to, all eyes will be on her.
Right.
So she's not going to have a lot of time to prove how great she is or how, you know, how disastrous she is.
Mm. Yeah, no, that's for sure. Well, our thanks to Peerless Boilers for making Sid Rosenberg available for us for this preview of what's coming up on the Bernie and Sid show. And again, you can not only listen right here on WABC, but watch them at WABCradio.com. Juliet, what do you say? We call it a day and go out and enjoy the heat.
I think it's time. Yes, careful with the weather. It's going to be very toasty over the next few days.
All
Bye,
right.
Joe.